filled by the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, Jesus fasted for 40 days. You follow this man, right? Christians follow Christ. Jesus did this. You follow him. Jesus in Matthew in chapter 6 said, when you fast, not if you fast. Did you know that? He said, when you fast, don't be a miserable, oh, I'm fasting, I feel so weak, it's been so long. Don't do that. Wash, shower, go to work. Okay? If you're fasting, suck it up. There's a reason. But he definitely talks to people who do fast. But I believe the Christian church today has completely just discounted and said fasting. That's what they used to do. But I'm not going to call a fast by the end of the sermon, so the roast is already in, nothing lost. What is fasting? Right? The answer leads to more questions. Why fast? How does one fast? When does one fast? Okay? So when do you do that stuff? But what is fasting? And so where do you go to get your answers about fasting? We're going to look at the Bible. Today, that's what we're going to do. Psalm 119 says, I will have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. It says, before I was afflicted, before when I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep to your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep to your word. What about this one? I remember this one in King James. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, it's the torch in the dark of the night as I go. You know, I could tell you read George Wallace's book, God's Chosen Fast. He's borrowed the title from a headline you find in Bibles. I could say that. But he, when he's useful, is drawing on what the Bible teaches. He also consulted physicians and said, here's about the state of the body. Here's how knowing we know today about the way the body works, why fasting won't kill you. Okay? With a warning, like don't hurt yourself if you're pregnant or if you're weakened in some way or if you have a reason, a medical condition that prevents it. Don't be religious about it. But that's just the title of a book you could read after you look at what God says in his word about fasting. Here's some examples of fasting. You ready? Here's like a little forced Roman march through scripture. These are just a couple of verses each, so maybe you want to write them down if you want to double check. In Judges, in chapter 20, there are people, they're asking for wisdom about fighting Benjamin in Israel, right? So Benjamin is one tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Benjamin did this horrible thing. There were these guys who did something horrible. And they came and said, give us those people. And Benjamin said, we're not giving you any of our people. And they said, well, there's going to be a fight then. And so there's civil war in Israel. And here's what it says about asking for wisdom, about fighting their own brothers. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the people of Israel inquired of the Lord. So there's an example of fasting, seeking God for wisdom. Now, in 1 Samuel, in chapter 7, this is an example of fasting showing sincere repentance. Okay, after the Philistines had captured the ark in battle, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 6, they gathered at Mitzvah and in a great ceremony drew water from a well and poured it out before the Lord. And they also went without food all day and confessed that they had sinned against the Lord. It was at Mitzvah that Samuel became Israel's judge. So that's a little bit of interesting thing. Fasting in order to repent of the way that they had disobeyed God and lost the ark, and the ark had been in some other place. And they finally came together, and Samuel leading them led them in this sort of fasting and repentance. And he ended up becoming basically the final judge before you end up having kings. Samuel anoints King Saul and then King David. So there's an example of fasting as an expression of repentance. In 2 Samuel, which is the story of King David in a large part, we see someone fasting seeking result. The child of David and Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, the child of David and Bathsheba is sick and is dying, right? And lying on the ground, and he was fasting, and he refused to eat. And he was praying before the Lord. And it says this: the child died. And the people are looking over at David, who was fasting when the child was sick. And nobody wanted to be the first person to tell David, your son has died. And David saw them in the back whispering to each other. And he just read it. He could just tell. And he said, is the child dead? And they said, yes, he is. And everybody's like, now what? Because he's been in such a state, he might even harm himself. Well, he got up. And he washed, and he ate some food. And the people said to him, and this is what it says in verse 21, his servants said to him, what is this thing you have done? You fasted and wept while the child was alive, but when the child died, you arose and you ate food. And he said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who knows whether the Lord may be gracious to me that the child may live. But now he's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. Incidentally, there's hope that in David that a child who dies at an early age has gone to be in heaven, and that a person who expects to be in heaven will see them. Will you take comfort from the scripture in that today? That's just in passing. But will you also notice that this fasting did not see the result that King David sought? He merely sought the Lord, but it didn't change what was going to happen. So there is fasting and seeking the Lord, but we don't tie God's hands. We don't strike a bargain with God. I did this, now you do that. It is merely just laying before the Lord and seeking his face. And if there's any way, if there's something to be seen and to be known from you, God, I'm here and I'm focused. Do you get that?